This audio presentation was pre-recorded and edited for brevity and clarity.
Hello, I'm Michael Buckley at the Bright Focus Foundation. Thank you for joining us for today's Bright Focus chat. Short days, long nights, low light, and other challenges of the holiday season. And if your weather is anything like what we're having here in Maryland right now, it's a very timely topic. It's a dark, rainy day here, and we're doing this topic today because around the country the days are getting shorter, and that really has a lot of impact on everyone, particularly people who have some vision challenges. That's why today we're joined by Stephen Osman, the Director of Patient Care at Low Vision Specialists of Maryland and Virginia. Their practice is a member of the International Academy of Low Vision Specialists, and they specialize in maximizing patient vision and customizing optical systems for adults with significant vision loss, including macular degeneration. Their goal is to improve the quality of life for patients whose vision loss makes the activities of daily life more difficult. And they have a great rate of success in helping patients improve their vision. So if today's your first time joining us in a Bright Focus chat, welcome. Just want to take a moment to tell you what we'll do today. Bright Focus Foundation funds some of the top scientists in the world. We're supporting research all around the globe that tries to find cures for macular degeneration, glaucoma, and Alzheimer's. We share the latest news from these scientists with families that are impacted by these diseases. We have a number of free publications and plenty of materials on our website, brightfocus.org, that offer tips for living with diseases like macular degeneration. Today's Bright Focus chat is another way that we share this information. Now I'd like to turn to Stephen Osman. Stephen, I want to thank you for joining us today. And we frequently get questions from people that have some challenges this time of year as there's fewer, less daylight, and things get a little trickier both driving and around the house. So given that this is occurring for many people, particularly those affected by macular degeneration, we wanted to hear from you right now. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what you do at your practice.
Sure, absolutely. So we've been providing advanced low vision for over 40 years now. Dr. Thomas Asman, our lead doctor, has always had a passion for low vision, helping people with macular degeneration and other low vision conditions, and, touches people from all across the country sometimes, providing them with improved vision. And as you mentioned, we'll be talking now about, improved lighting, especially around this time of year. What are some of the tips that we can provide to our patients to help them around the house and other common goals?
Well, great. We already have two questions in. One, Helen in New Jersey and Janet from California are both asking questions about lighting. This time of year, we're awake during dark hours more than other times of year. So Helen and Janet had questions about how to make the most out of lighting in their house. What type of lighting adjustments can you make around the house?
Yeah, so lighting is a very important concept that unfortunately is sometimes overlooked for people with macular degeneration and other low vision conditions. So proper lighting, is really crucial to maximize the quality of a person's vision. Now, generally speaking, bright light is very important, but sometimes too much light can also be overwhelming for the patient. So sometimes, sometimes we have to figure out exactly how much light is really going to give us the best quality. Very often, gooseneck lamps are very beneficial to bring the lighting much closer to one who's reading a newspaper or a book, because when you bring the lamp two times closer, that will provide four times the amount of illumination. So having the proper lighting and brought close to you will maximize the lighting to provide a better vision. Now, with the gooseneck lamp, there's all kinds of light bulbs out there, and really the best thing is for natural light, using full spectrum bulbs, which can be incandescent, halogen, LED, which are the newest technology of light bulbs, which really give you the brightest and the crispest light. But halogen and incandescent bulbs obviously will work too. The main concept to realize is that, you know, while we have overhead lighting, you know, almost everywhere we go, when bringing that light closer with a device like a gooseneck lamp, you know, that's providing four times the amount of illumination when it's brought closer. So for reading, and that's a, you know, very important factor of having that that bright light to give you that better quality of vision.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting, Stephen, that you mentioned how it can be that twice as close actually gets you four times the illumination. And I appreciate the point you make that it's not just increasing the overall quantity of light, that there are factors such as the type of light bulbs you mentioned and types of lamps. And I think that's really interesting. And glad you mentioned reading. That's something that's very popular among people, particularly in the winter months. What about for people who do their reading on an iPad, a Kindle, a tablet, a device like that? What can they do to help them read the best and you know, maybe minimize discomfort or eye strain?
Absolutely. So now that we're in the 21st century, we have people of all ages using iPads, iPhones, Kindles, all kinds of wonderful new tablets and devices. And thankfully, most of these devices, they already come incorporated to help patients with low vision. They have the option to maximize the font. Some of them have the ability to zoom in, already built into the operating system of these devices, increasing the contrast, the brightness. So with these options, it really can help a person out when they're using these devices. In our practice, very frequently, we'll have patients who are working these tablets very successfully by using some of the settings that are already built in. Additionally, there are many apps out there that you can download that can give you more advanced functions of zooming in. Some of them can do OCR, which is optical character recognition, and can actually read the things on your devices to you instead of actually having to read it. It'll read it out loud. One of the products that we recommend often is called Zoom Text. And that's by AI Squared, which they have multiple different versions of applications that work on tablets, iPhones, Android devices, desktop computers, laptops, which can really increase the quality when reading on these devices. Additionally, for the old-fashioned people like myself who prefer to read from a book or a newspaper, you have a lot of common things, generic devices like handheld magnifiers, desktop magnifiers, magnifiers with lights built in, as we just talked about a few moments ago, having proper lighting is beneficial. So if you have a magnifier with a light built into it, that's putting that light source right on top of the paper or book that you're reading, therefore, you know, providing much more illumination. You have things that many people are familiar with, the CCTV readers. And additionally, for people who want really the best possible vision, there are custom bioptics microscope glasses that can be designed specifically with one's prescription, providing the magnification with their prescription to really ultimately give them the best vision possible.
That's great. Go ahead. I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
There are many options that you know, one can use, and sometimes you can incorporate using all of these options. So there are many wonderful options there to help people be able to get back to reading a book, a magazine, or just, you know, using their tablet, or laptop, or desktop computer.
That is fantastic, because I know that reading is such a key part of quality of life and people continuing to keep their brain fresh and challenged. And so, Steve, kind of related to your good suggestions about using a Kindle, a tablet, a device like that, what about watching TV? Is there any particular tips in terms of the type of lighting in the room or the proximity of you to the TV, anything related to that might help, particularly when it's dark outside?
Absolutely. Well, obviously every person is different. You can have multiple people with macular degeneration or another low vision condition, but it can affect them all in different ways. Generally speaking, if someone's having trouble with their distance vision, The larger the TV screen, the better. The closer they sit, generally, the better. And, you know, with the lighting option, sometimes, you know, you have to play around with that to figure out what's going to be best for that individual person when watching TV. When reading the book, you know, you want to have that the best illumination, but watching TV, you know, it's really a different function because it's got its own colors and its own lights, and sometimes maybe a darker room could be better. But it's really a matter of really figuring that out. Additionally, as I mentioned, by optics, microscope glasses can be designed for reading. The inverse is true for distance for TV as well. So you have bioptic telescope glasses that can be made with one's prescription with their magnification that can allow a person to watch TV from the couch at a normal distance. Again, every person is different. So for one person, they might be able to sit back and watch from 20 feet away, where someone might need to sit much closer. And that's in our practice, this is a common theme that unfortunately, some people out there forget that we're all individuals. We can have the same medical condition, but it affects our lives in different ways, and we all have different goals as to what we want to accomplish. So sometimes the generic things are a good first line of defense, but they're not always the best thing for the individual.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I think related to the goals that you mentioned, one of the things we hear a lot at Bright Focus is people want to remain in their homes, as long as they can. They enjoy being in their familiar home and neighborhood, and they don't want to, want to stay there as long as they can. But one of the challenges is falls. We hear a lot of times falling is a major reason why people can't live in their home anymore. So I was wondering if you had ideas, particularly as the lighting. These lighting challenges. Tips about safety around the house, particularly as far as it relates to falling?
Absolutely. So it actually goes back to the lighting again. Now, in this sense, we're not talking about lighting, close up right in front of your book. We're talking about overhead lighting. Obviously, the brighter the overhead lighting, the more one will be able to see around their house. Also, things like home automation, motion sensors for outside your house, and sometimes it could really be used for inside your house. So, you know, when it gets dark, the lights are automatically going on by time it gets dark outside. For the outdoor lighting, motion sensors are very useful. So as soon as you walk up, the light goes on. So having proper lighting is really a common theme for many tasks with people with low vision. So inside the house, you know, lighting, again, is very important. It's also, you know, most of us are familiar with the settings in our home. It's important to identify potential risk factors around the house. Is there a step down? Is there a step up? Tripping hazards like carpets, rugs, wires, uneven surfaces, slippery surface. You know, you're going from one room to the next. Well, one room might be a carpeted, den, where the next room might be a marble or wood floor, which can be very slippery sometimes. So it's important to be aware of your surroundings. Obviously, most of us know our houses inside and out, but it's still, you know, to think about it, what are the potential risk factors in my home and environment? What can I prevent from, you know, what rooms can I prevent myself from falling, and just being aware of my surroundings. A common area is the bathroom. Bathtubs and showers obviously can be very slippery, even for people without macular degeneration.
Yeah.
So things like bath mats and things like that are very important. Additionally, you know, if people have low vision glasses that can help them get around, wearing their glasses obviously will help benefit them from knowing their environment better and seeing it better to really help prevent people from falling.
Sure. And I'd like to continue on the falling in a moment, but just because you mentioned the glasses, we've gotten two questions. One, Thelma in New Jersey, and Nanette from Colorado. They're really interested in the glasses that you mentioned a few minutes ago. What type of vision practice would you get some of those glasses that you mentioned?
Very good question. So there are many low vision practices, obviously, around the country, and many of them will do is provide generic low vision devices like handheld magnifiers, stand magnifiers, the TV readers, and a lot of other wonderful devices that in our practice we consider a first line of defense. But with our doctors' 40 years of experience, we've noticed that while these do work in the beginning, unfortunately, they're not long-lasting, and they really can't provide the best vision for our patients. So essentially, really simple words, these are special glasses that utilize telescope and microscope lenses to provide the best vision possible. They're generally designed at the proper magnification and the precise prescription, not only for each individual, but for their individual tasks, whether it be reading, watching TV, driving, seeing family members' faces. Obviously, as I mentioned before, everybody has their own goals and agenda. Now, as you mentioned in the beginning, we are a part of an association called the International Academy of Low Vision Specialists, and it's IALVS.com. That can be found online, where there are about 50 or 60 doctors who specialize in advanced low vision, designing these special glasses, and they have trained doctors throughout the country. So the best resource to learn more about these glasses is going to IALVS.com and reaching out to a doctor that's closest to you. And then those doctors obviously can provide more details for the specific person.
Well, great. And just one more, two quick things related to that. One, as a general rule, does insurance cover
products? That's a very good question and a very important question. Generally speaking, it does not cover it because Medicare and most providers follow the Medicare rules that because this is not treating a medical condition, it is generally not covered by Medicare and generally not covered by other insurance providers.
Well, that's good to know. So, Steve, I want to get back to the good points you were making about safety around the house. One of the big areas we hear about is stairs. Do you have any suggestions for this very high-risk part of people's homes?
Absolutely, and it's funny repeating it again, but again, lighting is very important. You want to be aware of where the steps are in your home. So lighting, again, is a common theme across the board for patients with macular degeneration. Some of the obvious basics are, having the proper grab bars and handrails, make sure they're properly secured, mounted, however the environment is. And of course, using those handrails, it's a great idea to go, one hand at a time, taking your time, going up or down a step, one by one, taking, shorter heights. Again, being aware of your surroundings obviously makes things much easier. When you know the steps are there, using the guardrails, and, don't try to overdo it by carrying objects when walking down or up the steps. And a very common concept is a chairlift. Some people, even though they might not have problems walking, but they're concerned about going up and down the steps, a very common thing is to have a chairlift installed in one's home to take the person up and down the staircase. And, again, some basic ones is don't be ashamed to use a cane or some kind of walking assistant if that's going to make, you feel more comfortable.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And kind of just following up on that, I've heard of people who might create a color contrast at the end of a set of stairs. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about how to do that or what that is?
Things like something that just can make an obvious difference on the flooring, whether it be having different lighting again, some kind of bright tape on the floor or even on the wall, some kind of signal that someone can actually see and that they know that they're going from one area to the next where the carpet is changing or there is a step, you know, precautionary, being, you know, proactive instead of reactive is always beneficial.
Well, fantastic. And so, Stephen, I'd like to take you and our listeners from inside the house to outside. And as we mentioned earlier, Bright Focus funds research on Alzheimer's and macular degeneration and glaucoma, and kind of a recurring theme in age-related diseases is the importance of maintaining, an active and healthy social life and kind of being as challenged and as possible. So I know that gets harder this time of year when it gets dark earlier. People want to keep doing their activities, their social clubs, their faith-based communities or holiday gatherings. And now it's dark at dinner time in most parts of the country. So could you tell us a little bit about driving and the importance of being safe, but also the importance of maintaining a pleasant life outside of the home?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, with macular degeneration, sometimes people are unfortunately stuck in their home because driving is a little bit scary. So the first thing and the most important thing is making sure that if you are driving still that, A, you're driving safely and, of course, legally. So, let's just talk about some of the concepts about this. So the first thing is, to make sure, are you driving legally? Unfortunately, we see many patients who drive to our office and they're legally blind. They do not meet the requirements of the state to legally drive. Now, they feel comfortable that they're driving safely, but the reality is they are not meeting the state's requirements. So knowing your state's requirements for vision is very important. On our website, which is www.lowvisionmd.org, at the bottom of our homepage, we actually have a link to all the state law requirements regarding vision. So it's important to make sure, most importantly, that people are driving safely and legally, of course.
Sure. And one of the phrases you hear a lot is visual acuity, and I think it's a term that people use but don't know. Would you be able to tell us what visual acuity is? Because when you look at some of these state websites you mentioned, that's a phrase that you see. So what is visual acuity?
Absolutely. So visual acuity is the amount of vision that's measured when you go to the eye doctor, 20/20, 20/100, 20/200, whatever it is for the person. And an average visual acuity for a driver's license is usually around 20/40 or 20/60, depending on the actual state. So somebody who can read, who is 20/20 vision, everyone knows that's considered normal vision. That means at 20 feet, they can read a sign properly. For somebody who's at 20/100, that means they're seeing the same thing as the person would see from 100 feet away. So it's important to understand basic, vision and what it really means. And again, the general rules for driving is based on visual acuity, also sometimes based on peripheral vision also, which is usually not a concern for macular degeneration, but other low vision conditions.
Sure. That's great. Now, I appreciate that. And we're going to continue to talk about driving for another moment or two. Now, Stephen, one of the things I hear a lot with driving is people say, oh, I can drive places where I've been before, places where I know how to go. And my question for you is, does that make sense, or are these people negotiating with themselves or trying to rationalize choices? So what do you think?
Unfortunately, in my opinion, and of course every person is different, many people with low vision or macular degeneration, if they're meeting the legal requirements but they don't feel safe driving, then it's probably best that they don't drive. Everyone has to, be at their own comfort level. But it's very common that we'll hear from our patients that, I don't drive at night anymore. I only drive locally in my neighborhood where I know the streets. And honestly, I get a little concerned when I hear that or when I see the patients drive to our office and I know that they're legally blind or they meet the legal requirements officially, but they maybe still should not be driving. So, but there are things that can be done for that.
Yeah. Well, I know this is such a terribly sensitive topic in a lot of families. Do you have any suggestions on how families should talk to someone about this, or the services that you and others provide? Do you offer tips for how to make something less awkward?
Well, obviously, having a one-on-one conversation with the parent, grandparent, or spouse, is obviously very important, and it's a delicate situation. Nobody wants to lose their independence, especially if they've been driving for 30, 40, or 50 years. But sometimes, we just have to come to the reality that if you can't drive safely and legally, if you can't see the traffic lights, people, of course, other people on the road, street signs, obviously that's very concerning. And it's highly recommended at that time to, discuss that with the family about either, having a spouse or another family member drive and to give up their license. Now, for those who want to potentially still drive, and there are many of those people out there, there are options of these bioptics, those glasses that I was mentioning about earlier before, where in many cases, not every case, of course, but in many cases, it is possible to provide that legal and safe vision by using these glasses, these bioptic telescope glasses. And again, it's important to check with your local state's vision requirements, because while they're accepted in most states, there may be one or two states where they're not acceptable. So it is important, again, to go back to the state laws and to know, even though I meet the visual requirements, are these glasses allowed to be used? And again, in most states, the bioptics are approved for driving when meeting the vision requirements. Additionally, there's some other technology called e-scoop, which are specially developed lenses. Sometimes they have a specially tinted yellow or tinted orange lens, which helps with the contrast, and it can be very beneficial for nighttime driving as well as daylight. So e-scoop is a specially developed lenses that were designed in Denmark for people with macular degeneration, which many people find very beneficial.
That's good to know. And now, increasingly people have a GPS or some sort of navigation system in their car, and I've heard kind of mixed opinions about this. It could serve for folks with some vision challenges. You hear people say that it's very helpful, particularly in audio, function, but some people say it's distracting. What do you think about GPSs for people?
I think, like any tool, when it's used properly, could be very, very very beneficial. But sometimes, if we just listen to the GPS, you'll hear stories where someone actually drove into a lake or into a forest because they weren't really paying attention. So while it could be very beneficial, it's always, from a safety perspective, to pre-program your routes beforehand, before even maybe getting in the car or before driving away. This way you have your route already planned. Many GPS devices, you can see the route ahead of time, make sure it makes sense. So I think it's a wonderful tool that could be used, especially with the audio. Sometimes they can be combined into a tablet or an iPhone or another device, and you can use that in conjunction with the low vision settings to zoom in and really get a better understanding. So I think they're a wonderful device. And for people even without a macular degeneration or a low vision condition, they're very beneficial.
Yeah, well, that's great. And I'd like to continue our travel theme for a moment. This time of year, the holidays, more people go to airports and train stations. That can be a little overwhelming for all of us, where there are a lot of signs you have to read or other things. Do you have any tips for navigating a train station, bus station, or an airport?
Absolutely. Now, the most common thing is if you're traveling with someone, if you can find a traveling partner, that can be very beneficial. This way, a person's not out there on their own. Somebody maybe who has better vision than the person traveling. So obviously, a travel partner can be very beneficial. We discussed, don't be shy, using a cane or a walker. Don't be shy. We have to recognize that, unfortunately, there are some things that, we can't do on our own, and we need to, be smart and take advantages of technologies and other devices, like simple devices, maybe like a walker or a walking cane, to really help us out. Again, regular glasses or bioptics that can be used while walking to help, read signs in a train station or an airport obviously can be very beneficial. Smartphones and tablets, again, for checking on the travel schedules, again, using that Zoom text and other technologies, that could be very beneficial. And, working with the whether it's a train station or a bus station or airport with the information center or reservation center, saying, I do need some additional assistance, whether it be a wheelchair or just someone to walk me to my seat. It's very important to take advantage of these options that they're provided, everywhere for people with any type of disability, including a vision disability.
Yeah, well, those are great points. And how would you respond to someone who, in their gut, knows they need that type of assistance, but yet is also concerned about not wanting to look vulnerable, because there are, unfortunately, people in those public transportation settings at the holidays time that do prey on folks. I mean, how do you suggest somebody maybe reconciles that in their mind?
Well, as I mentioned before, a travel partner is always a good idea. Two heads are always better than one. But also, feeling that confidence and not struggle, trying, to do the best they can, not to struggle through the airport or the train station or wherever it is, and again, be aware of their surroundings. And that's true for everybody these days, unfortunately, with society and world that we live in.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. We have an interesting question, kind of switching gears back to some of the devices around the house. Ron from Maryland is wondering about websites that often have a lot of different colors and backgrounds and shading. And I know at Bright Focus, when we launched our new website about a year and a half ago, this was something we were very, very cognizant of. So do you have any suggestions when somebody maybe finds a website just a little, literally hard on the eyes, just kind of hard to navigate?
Well, yeah, depending on what aspect we're talking about, if it's a brightness issue, if it's too bright or too much color, most monitors or tablets, devices, most of these devices do have some kind of setting where you can adjust the brightness, you can tone it down a little bit, you can change the contrast. So most devices give you the option to adjust the color and the brightness level. Another option is using some of the built-in functions of a computer or device, is using the zoom feature to maybe zoom into one section at a time. This way it's not too overwhelming. You can just look at one section at a time to really understand what's going on and not be distracted by all the other things on the page.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. We have a question. Martha in Virginia mentioning was interested in the glasses you mentioned before, the bioptics and others. Do those require training? Is that would someone work with a specialist such as you, or are these more straightforward to get adjusted to?
They're pretty straightforward. Generally, training is not required. For some people to get back to driving, people who haven't driven in a while, sometimes a low-vision occupational therapist is required. It really depends on the individual. For the most part, at least in our practice, once the glasses are designed and fabricated, in our practice, the doctor dispenses the glasses, going over, how to use them, and that could be a 45-minute process. So there is some adjustment period to get used to the glasses, but generally an occupational therapist is not required. However, for driving, it sometimes is required. But again, every person is different. Some
sure.
people pick it up right away, are used to it. Others take a little bit more time.
Well, yeah, I certainly appreciate that the distinctions there. And so, Stephen, as we kind of reach the end of our conversation today, I was wondering, as you are in this line of work for a number of years, is there a kind of a recurring misperception or myth that people bring to these issues, or just sort of a kind of a big picture philosophy or message that you'd like to give people with low vision?
Yes, unfortunately there is. most of our patients and most people out there with macular degeneration, they're being told that nothing more can be done for them. And I want to really clarify what that means when your doctor says that to you. Of course, your doctor is a wonderful doctor, and these retinal specialists and other doctors, they're saving the vision from people from going completely blind. So when they're when people are being told nothing more can be done for them, they're talking about a medical level. Unfortunately, today, we do not have a cure for macular degeneration. Hopefully, one day, very soon, we will. And there's lots of research, as we all know, being done every single day. You guys are involved in that. But at the end of the day, there is something that can be done, whether it's bioptics, generic devices, magnifiers, CCTV readers, whatever it is. There are many options out there, and people should not give up hope. There is something that can be done. And the goal is to, you know, provide functional vision for a better quality of life. So, you know, people should not get distraught when they hear nothing more can be done, because there are options out there. And sometimes it might take a little work to find out about them, but they are there. Again, you can go to our website, which is lowvisionmd.org. Or a nationwide site, IALVS.com, which both sites have a wealth of information, of resources, and low vision specialists throughout the country. And again, we're the 21st century, and we have Mr. Google that we can always go to and ask questions. And just simply Googling low vision specialists and other information like that, there's lots of resources out there.
Well, great. I appreciate that, Steve. I think that's really, you know, good advice for people in a lot of situations, that kind of hope and persistence. And I'd like to tell our listeners about several resources that Bright Focus offers for free. Bright Focus has a publication called Safety and the Older Driver, and it contains some of the good tips that Stephen mentioned today, and it also offers some alternatives to driving. So with that, Stephen, I just want to thank you so much for your time. I think you were very, very helpful and gave people a lot of good advice. And I think we're very, very positive about trying to make the most of this time of year when the weather gets tougher and the days get shorter. And just really appreciate that. And so again, you know, we offer publications such as Safety and the Older Driver, another one called The Essential Facts About Macular Degeneration. So all these resources are available free to you and your family. So again, Stephen, just want to thank you very much for your generosity. I think you have a lot of great advice for people.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us.
All right. Well, this concludes today's Bright Focus Chat. Just want to say thank you to everyone. Thanks. Bye-bye.
The information provided in this recording is a public service of Bright Focus Foundation and is not intended to constitute medical advice. Please consult your physician for personalized medical, dietary, and/or exercise advice. Any medications or supplements should only be taken under medical supervision. Bright Focus Foundation does not endorse any medical products or therapies.